welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
So good to join you in another week of our series called Apprentice. And within this series of Apprentice, we are working through the book of John Mark Comer called Practicing the Way. And with all of this set up, and with if you've been joining a community group, what we've been working through as a church and as our groups together, what we've discovered in this book is the simple but very difficult question for us to answer. And that is, what does it mean and look like to be a disciple? What does it look like to follow Jesus? Now, if you've done this Christianity thing, if you've been following Jesus for a while, it's one of those questions that we glance over when thinking about our faith. But the moment we take a series like this and we pause and we ask, but do I live a life of a disciple of Jesus? That is where we start to think more and consider more, what does this mean for us? So in this series, we've discovered three things. And everyone will nod and we're like, we've heard this a few times before. Is that being an apprentice means three things. It is to be with Jesus, as the disciples were, even today, to be with Jesus for us is one, to become like Jesus, number two, and to do as Jesus did. Now, these three things and what we've discovered in this series took us as a group. There was a moment where we read the scripture in Romans 12:2. You guys know we've referenced that scripture quite a bit. It's the do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And that is a great first half of that. But there's the second part that says, and be transformed by the renewal, the metamorphosis of your mind. That transformed word is the changing of who we are. And friends, to be honest, that's where we should pause. Because that scripture for us as a community group a few weeks ago in a little apartment somewhere there in Valeria, we got to and had to face the following question. If you close your eyes tonight and you wake up, and tomorrow you're 50. And if you're 50, I apologize. Okay? Let's add in... the 60, let's add in 70, 120. Okay, let's be safe, okay? Some people are ready to walk out now. if you close your eyes and tomorrow is the last week of your life, If it is an age that you think I'll never get there, but somehow we're there. Here is a question that should rock us this morning. Will your spiritual life look any different then? Or a different question rather, will you be any different then? See, this is the truth. We are not just gonna stay the same from now until that imaginary date. We're not just going to be kind of the same people. We're either growing into becoming more like Jesus, or we're regressing and deforming into something or someone else we are following. You are becoming something. You are becoming someone. And the question I want to burn in the back of your mind this morning is the following. Are you content with who that is? Are you content, happy, satisfied with who you are becoming? But for some of us, we find ourselves this morning following Jesus for a while. We've been doing this Christianity thing maybe for a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20, 30, 50, just to be safe. We've been doing this thing for a while, and we won't say it, but there's a question we're asking. We're like, is this it? Like, should following Jesus just feel like this? Should it feel this stuck at times? And that is what Taiki preached about last week. He says there's the stuckness we can find ourselves in our following of Jesus, of self-defeating habits, of sin and shame and dysfunctional patterns of generations that kind of just show up in our lives once again, and hurts and wounding and feeling like we're plateauing in our faith. You know, that feeling of, I started out great and I gave word to people and I climbed into scripture and I prayed and we got this community group, and a few years or months or decades on, I actually feel like I'm taking a few steps backward. So, John Mark Comer captures that feeling for us so well. And maybe as I say the next few sentences, the next thought, maybe you can find yourself within that this morning. He says the following: the problem is not that we do not want to or aren't trying to become like Jesus. The problem is we do not know how to become like Jesus. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that, God, I want to, I just don't know how? So if you are average South African, thinking about the moment we find ourselves in this morning with a generator running and a boermark plan and all those sayings we have in our culture, we tend to take that to our faith as well. And say, the moment we get stuck or we feel like we're regressing, we're going to white knuckle this thing, meaning I'm going to force my way into growing in this Christianity thing. I'm going to set that alarm for 5 o'clock. I'm going to, you know, schedule scriptures, and I'm going to get an accountability group, and this thing is going to work. And then a month, a week, a few days of trying that, we're again a few steps backward. Friends, the culture and the posture I want to invite you in this morning is something completely different. It's not something of more religiosity, okay? It's not something of doing the right things more, but rather a posture of surrender. It is the image of the potter in a clay. If we want an image to form the foundation of this morning, if this was a potter in a clay's table, the clay is not just passive. The clay is surrendered to what the potter wants to do with it. And this morning, as we walk through this, I want to invite you to surrender that white-knuckle Christianity, that thing you want to grow in. I want you to surrender that to God, because what a potter does is he takes that and he shapes a vessel out of that. The vessel of his liking and of his imagination. And as the clay surrenders and works with the potter, he makes it a vessel that he can fill and give to this world. So, will you be open this morning to listen, to discern what God wants to come and shape? So, this is true, friends. I know you want to become like Jesus. I know you want to create time and space for God in your life. Here's the good news that we can hold on to this morning. You can move from unintentionality and stuckness and regression and plateauing. You can move into intentionality. Friends, apprenticeship to Jesus requires intentionality. I mean, think about the life of Jesus. What an example. If there was ever someone that had to get a lot done in 3 years, in a short amount of time, it was Jesus. if you think about someone who carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, literally, and yet within his life of purpose and responsibility and drive and literally every single encounter, meeting, minute was crucial. Had to get it right, had to get it done. With all that pressure, Jesus still was able to live a life of deep intentionality, where the one and the moment mattered. I believe Jesus is calling us to live the same life with purpose, responsibility, but intentionality. There's examples of this in Mark chapter 1. You feel free to turn your Bible there. You can also turn your Bible to Matthew 3 and Matthew 4. But we see throughout the story of Jesus, and I love the way the gospel writers did this, is that they gave us a glimpse into these moments of Jesus. It wasn't just the mountaintop moments or the 3,000 being fed, but a moment where it was early in the morning and still dark, Jesus got up, went out to a deserted place, and there he was praying. Friends, this scripture opens up for us the box, the discovery of what the practices, disciplines, the how of following Jesus can look like in our lives. And we're not, and definitely not, John Mark Comer is writing his book out of a, hey guys, these are the 9 things you should do to grow in your Christianity. No, he's saying, what are the 9 things we saw Jesus did that we can follow, that we can step into, that we can respond to? So this morning, introducing the practices, the 9 rhythms, the 9 ways of how we can grow and create space for God to transform us. These 9 practices, as we do 1 really well, if we do 2 really well, regardless, these practices open up, and I've got the definition on the screen as well. These practices are disciplines that create space for the Spirit to transform us from the inside out. Friends, these practices are not for us to try and get right and feel like we're winning at this Christianity thing. It is not from the outside in, but rather God and us surrendering to God to create time and space for Him to come and work in our lives. We'll briefly be exploring these 9 practices, and I'll, as we're walking through them, here is one question I want you to mull over in your mind. Is what is pressing on your heart to respond to? Out of these 9, as we're walking through them, what is one that God is pressing and saying, maybe this is where you can create time and space? Here we go. So the first practice is Sabbath, and not to be confused with the Jewish rhythm, although very much the Jewish rhythm is based on the principle, the thing God placed in when he himself on the 6th day stepped back and said, I'm going to stop, I'm going to rest, I'm going to delight in my creation. And for us, a response in worship, it's to stop in our weekly rhythms. More to be said on this later on. The second practice is prayer, is to commune and communicate with God. It's taking that step within this world, running at a million miles to commune and share life with your Father through the Holy Spirit. Number 3, fasting is to give yourself fully to Jesus. As Jesus himself in Matthew 3, and to make a note of that as you're studying this later on, but even Jesus fasting to open himself up to God. And for us, it's the same, to give ourselves fully to Jesus, to purge our bodies of sin, to hear and be heard by God, and to stand with the poor. The 4th practice, discipline, is solitude. And no, it's not isolation, not seclusion, but solitude, where we can intentionally quiet ourselves with God. The fifth practice is generosity. It's giving your money and resources to the people of God, to the people God directs you. The sixth practice is scripture. And Taiki mentioned this last week, but it's losing ourselves and finding who we are within the library of the Bible. Seventh practice is community. It's experiencing heaven around a table. Deep and loving friendship. The eighth practice is service. It's meeting the practical needs of others. Those of us who were with Street Store either the week here at the church or at Street Store itself experience this and then witness to practice hospitality and preaching the gospel. These nine practices, friends, are not rooted in some theology and some book. These practices are rooted in our rabbi's story, in the life of Jesus. My question to you again is, which one of these practices is God pressing on your heart this morning to say, here, my son, my daughter, is how I want you to create time and space for me to work in your life. It is crucial, though, to mention the following. This is not what we are saying. We are not saying that these practices, how well you ever do them, are a sign of your spiritual maturity. Okay, this is not a measuring stick of who's the better Christian in the room. You know, who has got all nine, you know, dialed in, doing it right and getting it right every single week. This is not what this is about. These practices are not the whole of our spiritual life, friends. They're just one part of it. They're a part of us growing spiritually with the Father. It's a way in which we can grow with Him. Number two, and this is crucial, and we're gonna pause with this one for a little bit, is these practices are not some form of spiritual merit. What does this mean? These practices, these disciplines, these nine things you can build into your life, they are not for identity, but from identity. What does that mean? It means we're not doing them to become better sons of God, to earn somehow our right to be called sons and daughters of God. We're not doing them to affirm our identity. Rather, it is from our identity that we respond with these practices and disciplines. Again, let's take this to the life of Jesus. Matthew 3. Jesus has this incredible moment, public, of baptism, where the Father himself speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Directly after that, Matthew 4, Jesus is led into the desert to fast for 40 days. And within his fasting, he is tempted as well. What do we see? Jesus didn't go into the desert for 40 days to fast and then ask God to affirm his identity. His identity was affirmed, was set. You are my son. Now, create time and space within your life for me to come and transform you into the very image that I created you to be. Friends, let's not make these practices something we do to earn the favor of God and man. Rather, may they be something we open up intentionally in our lives for Him to come and transform us. Here's the truth. And if you're making notes, if you're writing something, this is the essence of what these disciplines mean for us in our identity. Your identity, set, given, eternal, should lead you to intentionality. I'll say it again. Your identity leads you towards intentionality, leads you towards a response. Again, we know we're asking the question, how do I grow? How do I become and be and live like a disciple? Friends, this is it. But be sure it's not for the favor of God, but from it. Dallas Willard uses the following quote, and it's potent. He says, grace isn't opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. It's exactly the same thing. We cannot earn anything from God by applying and doing these practices. It is us stepping into an intentional effort to grow into His likeness. And that requires time and space. So, we're going to linger for a moment. As we're running through this and you're hearing about identity and intentionality, can we pause for 5-10 seconds with the following question? What does this mean for you? If we're lingering on these 9 disciplines and not 4 identity, this morning, what is bubbling to the surface in your heart? What is God bringing up that He's inviting you to respond to? I know the question we're asking is, what can this look like practically? Like, it's great to hear about this, but what does this look like practically? And I've got a pretty cool picture of our living room that I've brought for you this morning. Now, that is our little apartment. And if you walked into that room this morning, it would kind of look like that, maybe without the slippers, but it will kind of look like that. But if you walked into that very same room a year ago, it would have looked a lot different. And the reason for that is, by end of last year, me and my wife at that table on the outside of that stoopy, we had a moment at that table where we were asking ourselves that very same question we started with this morning. It's like, is this it? Like, this growing in our spiritual life, growing in being more like Jesus, like growing in our identity, is, should this feel like this? Because honestly, we feel like we're regressing. A few months before that, I've just out of a desperation sent a WhatsApp to my wife and said, I think I'm burning out. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, but I cannot connect to God. I cannot respond to Him. I don't have time for Him in my life. I don't know what to do. And for us, last year, creating the time and space for God meant to physically cut away, put away, give away distraction, clutter, so that we can create time and space for God. And that resulted in us changing what that room actually looked and felt like. And it's not a big room. I'm not sitting far from the other wall. For us, it's a symbol of saying we are intent on creating time and space for us to become like Jesus. And now, a year on, we are exploring, we are discovering what it means to do Sabbath. A time on a weekend where for 12 hours, maybe 24, we create a time where we can stop, where we can put away our work, put away our studies, put away even good friendships, to stop with God, to rest in Him and delight. And that is the practice I want to invite you into this morning. But I know, here's what I know. In Gauteng, in 2025, this is radical. Some people are ready to walk out of the room. Like, this is rest, 24 hours on a weekend, 12 hours on, 4 hours is enough. 4 hours is stretching it. But here's the thing, we know, we believe that rest is earned. In our culture, we believe that work will die down in a couple weeks. It's only after next week, then things will, you know, get better. But, and somehow that week just never comes. It's, so next thing you know, it's December. You're like, wow, here we go again. for us in Gauteng in 2025, embracing something like a Sabbath seems absolutely ridiculous. And yet, on the other side of that, this practice reveals our relationship with our work. It reveals our relationship to rest. And it presses at the very core of clutter in our lives. So, if you open your eyes tomorrow morning and you're 50 or 70 or 120, that's the last time I'm making that joke. If you wake up tomorrow morning and you're at that imaginary age and you heard this sermon 50 years ago, will your spiritual life look any different? Will you be any different? You are becoming something. Are you content with who that person is? Will you allow God, in practicing a few hours after church today, this morning, this weekend, somewhere on Thursday or Friday or Saturday, will you allow God, by creating space and time for Him, will you allow Him to transform you into becoming that person who He sees you as? Will you allow that? Will you take that radical step in Gauteng in 2025 and open up time so that God can shape you, shape your life, transform who you are? Friends, do not let this morning just resonate with you. What are you pressed to change? What are you called to surrender this morning? Now, as you walk out of those doors, how will you rest, delight, and worship? What are you invited to do to create space for God? We're going to take a few moments. And as we're lingering on this question, may in the following prayer, may you experience how God is placing his finger on a few key areas. Friends, you are becoming something. Will you allow God to shape who that is? Maybe close our eyes. Father, I pray as we're sitting here this morning that you would come and bring to the surface the one thing that you are calling us to step into. What is the one thing, God, that you are asking us to respond with? Will you show us? Will you reveal to us? Our hearts are open. Holy Spirit, we pray that we would not forget. Father, we pray that we will say yes. We will respond with a brave, courageous step. We will say yes. Amen. Take a few moments. We're going to put some light music on. Whatever you experienced within this moment, as we reflected on this sermon, what is one thing God is inviting you into? What is one discipline, one practice? If it's Sabbath, it's Sabbath. If it's one of the other disciplines, regardless, what is God inviting you into?